Kiribos, I hope everybody is good. Today's daf is Yavam's daf Lamed Vav. Quick programming note, probably will be the last shiur before Pesach. Kids are home, Pesach coming up, a lot of prep needs to happen in the house, so probably will be the last shiur before Pesach, and then on Matzei Shabbos, we'll get it started again, Mitzvah Shem, right after the Seder on the first day of Chol HaMoed on Motzei Shabbos. So, Mitzvah Shem, that's the plan. But for now, let's learn Daf Lamed Vav. We had said at the end of yesterday, right, we've been going through all these kashas, right, back and forth, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, right, if you remember the case, right, the Shaila was at the beginning of the Gemara yesterday, right, as we started the fourth parak. If a person does chalitza to a woman who is pregnant, and then he pila, then she loses the baby. So Rachman al-Tzlan, right, that there still theoretically should be a need for yibum. This woman does not have any children. But let's say you did the chalitza during when she was pregnant. So what's the deal? So Rabbi Yochanan says that she does not need another chalitza, and Reish Lakish says she does. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan holds that the chalitza was good, and Reish Lakish holds that the chalitza was not good. So we're here with another kasha. Mesive, where it's the last word on the line, about 10 lines up. Mesive, Hakones, Es, Yevimto, Venimtes, Meuberis. Again, the Brisa says, again, this is a kasha on, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yochanan. Right, so if you find, person does Yibam, and then finds out, sure enough, whoops, she is pregnant. Sarezu, Lotinasi, Tsarasa, Veshema, Yehe, Vlad, Ben Kayama. So the Tsara, right, forget the Maisa, which is obviously a mistake. But the Tsara, the co-wife of the Yavama, who is pregnant, is not allowed to go get remarried because, right, maybe this kid will be legit, this kid will be a Ben Kayama, will make it, Baruch Hashem, as most kids do. Obviously, when dealing with these types of things. Because maybe we're concerned that the child will be a real child, and then there won't be any need for Yibum. So the Gemara says, one second, what do you mean? She can go get remarried if they had a kid? If the kid is legit, then you didn't need Yibum Chalitza to begin with. So the Gemara says, no, Adrabah, no, the opposite must be true. Really, I mean, forget that Bryce's language must be incorrect. And really what the Bryce's language is Ki Have Havlad Ben Kayama Miftir Tsarasa. Meaning, that's the question. Meaning, if the kid exists, so then, of course, that Tsara doesn't need Yibum. So the Gemara says, Ela Ema, rather, no, really, and this is the question that we're asking on Rabbi Yochanan, where really, Shema Lo Yehav Vlad Ben Kayama, maybe, Shema Lo Yehav Vlad Ben Kayama, maybe the kid will not survive. In that case, you will need Yibum and Chalitza. Now, Rabbi Yochanan said that the Chalitza that was done is good. So here we're saying that the Yibum that is done is not good. If you tell me that the Yibum works, working on the assumption that a Yibum and a Chalitza that happens during pregnancy is valid, as Rabbi Yochanan said, so why in the world should we be nervous for this tzara to go get remarried? Right, let the Yibum be good. Right, if the kid doesn't make it, so then they needed Yibum, but they did Yibum while the woman was pregnant, so sure, the Yibum should be fine. So that, apparently, if we don't say that, if we're nervous that we don't let the tzara, the co-wife, get remarried, so that in that case, right, apparently we see the Yibum was no good. So Rabbi says, yeah, split Yibum and Chalitza. So, Babia Kuli Amalo Pligi de Lopatra. Everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokesh would agree, that Yibum, when a woman is pregnant, is not going to free the woman. And that's why the Brisa says that the co-wife is not allowed to get remarried until we know what the deal is with the child. But Ki Pligi with the Machlokas, as we had at the beginning of the Gemara, that's Bechalitza. Rabbi Yochanan Savar Chalitza is Muberish Me Chalitza, and Bia is Muberish Losh Me Bia. Rabbi Shlokesh Savar Bia is Muberish Losh Me Bia, and Chalitza is Muberish Losh Me Bia. Right, everybody agrees that the Bia is no good, that the Yibum is no good if she's pregnant, but what is with the Chalitza? So there Rabbi Yochanan says that it's good, and Rabbi Shlokesh says that it's no good. Amalei Rava, Rava says, Manavshach, what do you mean? Regardless, meaning, as we've been saying throughout the whole Masechta, Rava says Chalitza and Bia and Yibum, those are two sides of the same coin. What are you talking about? You can't split those. We already talked about already. The kala ola liyibum ola lechalitza, v'ochol shayina ola liyibum and ola lechalitza. The two sides of the same coin. How do you split them? Right? If it's good, it's good. If it's not good, it's not good. You can't say one is good, not the other. So Elam Rava. Rava says no. How does Rabbi Yochanan deal with that? With that brisa? Kafi kamer. This is what it means. Hakon is yivinto v'nitzes muveris. Let's say you did yibum and then all of a sudden, whoops, she's pregnant. Harei zu lo tinasi tzarasa shema yehavlad ben kayama. No, go back to the original understanding of the of the Brisa. If you do Yibum and then all of a sudden the woman is pregnant, right? So the co-wife cannot get remarried because maybe the child will survive. And Ubias Muberes Lo Shmei Bia, V'Chalitza Muberes Lo Shmei Chalitza, and sure enough, any Yibum V'Chalitza during that time does not work, right? V'Avlad, that does not work. Because the kid will be, meaning that obviously the Yibum and Chalitza will not, you don't need Yibum and Chalitza in that scenario, because the kid is going to make it. But the kid is alive, and they had children, you didn't need the Yibum and Chalitza. But why, when does this woman's Zika disappear, right? Again, she doesn't need Yibum and Chalitza, but that's only, we know that to be true after the kid is born. That's why we're going to make the co-wife wait to get remarried. Not because the Yibum Chalitza was good, right? Or because it wasn't good, right? But simply because that she doesn't need Yibum Chalitza, but that scenario is resolved, right, only after the baby is born, and that is when the Zika dissolves. Meaning the Yibum and the Chalitza are not helpful, right? They don't do anything. They don't dissolve the Zika. They don't get rid of the Zika and allow the co-wife to remarry. So Tanya, the Kavasi, there are Rabbi. Sure enough, we have a price that says exactly like this. Hakadosh Yivento Venisus Muvaris Harei Zulu Tinas Saras Hashem Yev Vlad Ben Kayama Ben Bia Vechlitz Poteres Al Vlad Poter. Right, it's the Vlad that gets out of the Zika. For Vlad Inu Poter Ad Sheyetsay Love Your Olam. So sure enough, the price is exactly what we just said. Now the Gemara just says. Now, time of the Shem, again, this, right, it seems to be very good according to Rabbi Yochanan. Problem is, that's against Rish Lakish. So now you have to ask the question the other way. Right, this Brisa that we just quoted, meaning originally Rava was interpreting the Brisa to be like Rabbi Yochanan, but there's some leeway for you to understand it like Rish Lakish, like we said before. But now you have a Brisa that supports Rava, so that's against Rabbi Yochanan. So time of the Shema Yehav Lad Ben Kayama. Right, apparently you see that only if the kid makes it, right? Do we say that the co-wife can remarry? Hello, have Vlad Ben Kayama. But if the kid doesn't make it, Mifter Tsarasa, apparently the co-wife is allowed to get remarried right away. Again, based on the Yibum that was done previously, right, when she was pregnant. That's against Rish Lakish. So the Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish said, no, that Hachikama. This is what the price means. Hakonis Yivim Dovinisus Muberes. No, the language is, again, as we explained before, the language of the Brisa is really, maybe the kid will not make it. And you didn't do anything. Therefore, again, as Rish Lakish said, if you do Yibum Chalitza when the woman is pregnant, that's nothing. That doesn't count. And if the kid doesn't make it, then you still need Yibum Chalitza, right, to get rid of the Zika. So the V'im Tomar Helich Acharov Nashim, and if you tell me, that maybe you should use the Rove, right? And most women give V'rov Nashim V'lad Malia, we all done, and most women, right, give birth to normal kids. Thank God, healthy kids that are going to survive. So the Gemara problem is that V'lad Eino Poter Ad She'etzei Lever Olam. Now the second line of the Brisa is saying that even if you tell me that you go after a Rove, right, that really we can assume that the kid will make it, but still, if that's all you're relying on, that doesn't work until the kid is born, and that's why, right, the co-wife should not get married right away. Okay, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, actually, Isa lahad Rish Lakish v'lo tzanan lan b'masnisin. Is it possible that we have this sheet of Rish Lakish, who we're about to say is the halacha, and it's not found in a Mishnah? It doesn't make sense. Right? I mean, this is too, right, crucial. Right, if you tell me that Yibum and Chalitza, right, does not work, right, when if the woman is pregnant, right, how it must have been that this is found somewhere in a Mishnah somewhere. So the Gemara says, Nafak duck for Ashkach. So sure enough, right, he went out and he checked it out. Right, Rabbi Elazar went and tried to look and found, and he found the following Mishnah. And he said, the Tanah, as we learned in the Mishnah, Ha'isha Shehalach Balav Tzarasa Medina Zayam. Let's say a husband's married to two women, right, and he takes one wife on vacation, the other wife stays home. Right, above Amrullah Meis Balech. And now the woman who stayed home, someone comes and says, you know what, terrible tragedy on the vacation, your husband died. So Amr Harezu Lotinase Volotisyavim Acheteda Shema Muberes Yitzarasa. So this woman who stayed home cannot get married until she figures out whether the co-wife, right, is pregnant. Again, she didn't necessarily die. Right? Maybe she's pregnant somewhere, right? And maybe they have kids, right? We don't know. Or maybe the kid will make it, and then she won't need Yibum Chalitza. So the Gemara says, so one second, so meaning this is what Rabbi Elazar was looking for. He's looking for a proof to Reish Lakish Shita that Yibum Chalitza when a woman is pregnant is not a thing. So the Gemara says, Bishlama Yibum Melo. It makes sense that you can't let the other wife, the wife who stayed home, do Yibum, because maybe the kid will make it. And then, obviously, Yibum with Eish Ach, when you didn't need to do Yibum, that's an Issachar, right? That's bad. That's El Lo Tachlo Tamai. But what's the problem with doing Chalitza? I get it that you can't do chalitza within 9 months and then get married, because that's already a high new suffix. That's already our suffix. Right? We don't know if the kid's going to make it or not. But let her just at least do chalitza, and then she can get married right after the 9 months. And if we don't have a legit child, so then she's good to go. So apparently, what do you see? Apparently, you see that's not an option. So Gemara says, well, but according to that, therefore that proves is Reish Lakish, that the chalitza, when a woman is pregnant, or when we have this shas sofek, right, would not be a good chalitza. So Gemara says, well, if l'tamech, according to that logic, t'achlotz v'tzinasi l'achar shittin tisha. Well, forget, why should she, right, let her do chalitza and then get remarried to someone else, right, after 9 months? Right, why, meaning, forget, one second. Meaning let her do the chalitza after 9 months. Meaning, why do you have to do the chalitza within the 9 months? Ella bar mina dahi. Rather, it must be that this is not related to our issue. But the abayi bar abba beruchin bar abayi damer tabayi, because they explained that shema yehev lad ben kayama. That the concern here is that the kid will exist, and if it nimsa ata matzricha kruz lakuna. Really, the issue here is not whether the yibum chalitza is good when a woman is pregnant. That's not the issue. The issue is, because maybe there'll be a child from the other wife who was, again, went on vacation, and then you'll have to make an announcement. Your machriz are ready to the achraza. You have to announce that the woman, is actually okay, right, to marry kohanim, right? That the chalitza wasn't actually a chalitza because this woman has a child. The other woman, wife, has a child. So he says, okay, but let's go. So what's the problem with making this announcement? Where it says Dilma Ika Inish to have the chalitza v'lo have the achraza, because we're concerned that maybe somebody will be there at the chalitza, they won't hear the announcement, right? The follow up announcement months later, right? If you also see the meimar kashari chalitza v'kohen, and they'll think that a chalitza, right, is mutter to marry a kohen, right? And that's not true. We don't want that. So Amalei Bayi said to Rabbi Elazar, immediately lo tachlos v'tisyabim katani. The Mishnah didn't say that. Where it says doesn't say you can't do chalitza, you can't do yibum. Right, that's meaning the whole thing we were saying, right? You have an option, right? What does it say? It doesn't say that. It says lo tinasi lo tisyabim katani. It says you can't get married, you can't do yibum, right? Meaning below chalitza, but without chalitza. Aval yichalitzla, right? Hachinami sharia. Right? Rabbi says no. That if you did chalitza, right? And maybe if you did chalitza, even while the woman is pregnant theoretically, right? Then it could be mutter to get remarried. To get remarried afterwards. Right? So even if without this explanation over here that we're talking about the coin, etc., right, you could understand the Mishnah, right, as a proof to Reish Lakish. So Tanya comes to Reish Lakish, right, and the Brisa says straight up like Reish Lakish, Chalitza Muberes Vepila, for whatever reason you did Chalitza to a woman who's pregnant and she lost the baby, Rechman Islam. So Tzricha Chalitza Mena Achin, she needs Chalitza from the brothers, and meaning Taklis. The chalitza is no good, and that's exactly like Reish Lakish said. Rav says, and sure enough, Hilchazak Havas to Reish Lakish, Bani Fas. There are three times in the halacha is like Reish Lakish, i.e., when he argues with Rabbi Yochanan, implying that the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yochanan. Chada Hada Amran, one of them is our case. Idach, another case, is that it's not another Mishnah, it's a Mishnah in Bava Basra. Okay, Hamachalik Nechasav Alpiv. Let's say a father who's not doing so well, so he decides to give out, right, his property, his Nechasim, right, to his sons. Right, so Riba Le'echad, Ami Le'echad, V'Hishvi Le'hem, it's a Bechor. Right, so if he makes some sort of adjustments to the normal standard Yerusha payouts, which is obviously double portion to the Bechor, and then one portion to everybody else. But if he decides to finagle the numbers a little bit, so then Dvarav Kayamim. Right, again, then it works, and what Rashi points out, and we're going to see in a second over here, is that because we're assuming that these are matanos, that these are gifts. Not that he's changing the inheritance, right? The inheritance, that's already halacha fixed in the Torah. But if he gives out the gifts before it passes away. So then, wait, that is normal because that is understood. And then we assume that when he passed away, so he had no property, and that doesn't go to the kids. But all the stuff that he gave out during his lifetime, that's good. But if he says that it's for an inheritance, then lo amar klum, that's nothing because that's masna mashna because of Torah. You're not allowed to make a tanai against the. You know, something in the Torah, right? A person's not allowed to say, I'll take a stupid example. A person's not allowed to say, I don't know, I can't think of anything good. But you can't make a tanai, right, against something that's written in the Torah. But if you wrote Mishomatana, right? But if you wrote at any point, right? All of these points in the Talich, in the process, that it's before a gift. So then Devarim Kayamim. So then, right? Everything is good again. So then that means he's not trying to circumvent. He's not actually circumventing the laws of inheritance. If Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said about this, Lolam Lokana Achi Yomar Ploni Ploni Yorshu Sade Ploni Ploni Shinesatim Lahem B'Matana V'Yorshim. Right? It doesn't work until he writes that. Now that's a little bit misleading. That's not exactly the real point here. Is not actually found right in the Gemara. It's actually Rashi already quotes it. And that's what Rashi, the first Rashi, top of Lama Vavam Beis, right? Lo Masnisim Polik, right? He's not actually, Reish Lakish here is not actually commenting on what we just read. It's not, Ella rather, Hasam, right over there, the Beish Noklan, Pligi, there's a Machlokas Amorai, right? There's a Machlokas Amorai. What happens, right, if the father splits it? Right, but do the mismis and haki asar avin amar yeresh ploni ste ploni vitinasin ste ploni le ploni. Right, what happens if he splits it? Meaning, if he says everything's a matanas and everything's great, if he says everything is a yerusha, so everything we also know the halacha and that we don't pay attention to the father's words either. Let's say he splits it. Let's say you know the bechor gets a matana and the other guys get a yerusha and he divides it up. I don't know 30-30-30 or whatever the numbers are. So how do we do that? So in that case, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kana Afilu Hay Dirusha Demeshdakar Losha Matana Abahay Mishdar Tzava Lachay Minayu Kulu Nami Matana Nenu. Rabbi Yochanan says we look at it as if everything is a gift, everything is a matana, and therefore everybody acquires whatever. And Reish Lakish, that's what Reish Lakish says here, that no, it's only if the entirety of the document was given as a matana, not if he splits, gave some as Yerusha and some as a matana, right? So that acquires Reish Lakish is no good, and that's how we paskin that the entirety of the gifts, right? So let's say that all the five brothers have to be a gift and not any type of inheritance. Okay, fine. Good. Viter. Okay, the Idach in the last case, right, that we all pass on the Lakish is like this. That's not as well as the Mishnah. Kosev called the Chazal Lefno Achamoso. Again, a similar case. Our father writes so that he's going to give all of his stuff to his son, right, meaning I want all my son to acquire all my stuff. After he passes away, so Av inu yochol limkor mepneishin the son leben veben inu yochol limkor mepneishin hein brishes av. So there's kind of like stalemate, meaning that property is kind of like in limbo. The father is not allowed to sell the stuff because he already gave it to his son, and the son is not allowed to sell it because he already, you know, he hasn't yarshined it yet, or it still belongs technically to the father. Let's say mochar av. Let's say he did though. Let's say the father sold the property. So the mochar nacha yamus hu. So they are sold until he passes away, and then right the property goes to the son, because he had that contract already. Makar ben, if the son sells his rights, so then in lokeh klum achiyamosav. So then the buyer doesn't get it right until the father passes away. V'itmar, and it was said, what about makar haben b'chayav umes haben b'chayav? What about this case? What about if the son sold the stuff, and obviously now, right again, as we just said, the buyer only gets it after the father passes away, but now the son passes away. Right, again, the son only was supposed to get it after the father passed away, but the son predeceased his father. So in that case, what do you do? Because technically, right, the son sold something he didn't really own. He was only going to get it after the father passed away, but then the son passed away first. So what do you do? So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Lo kana lo kech," that the sale is dead. At the and the son is dead. Rahman al son, not to make light of the situation, but right, there's no pun intended, really. But meaning the sale that never happened, doesn't work because the son never acquired the property. So therefore, right, the property stays in the father's rishos. Reish Lakish Amar, no, they cannot look at that when the father eventually, say the father passed away 2 years later. So then the guy who bought it will in fact get the property. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kana Lokeach, but Kinyan Peres Kinyan Guf Dami. Okay, just to explain, just to give a background, there are two types of ownership on a property. There is the property, right, the actual land, and there is the produce. There is the Kinyan Guf, right, the actual land that exists, and then there's a produce. Let's say it's an orchard, and it makes, I don't know, oranges or whatever, or a factory that makes shirts, whatever. I mean, there's the actual factory, there's the actual field, and there are the oranges and the shirts. So that's two types of things. So the question is, how do you view, without getting into all that stuff, because I really didn't research it so much, but how do you view the fruit? I mean, how do you view a kinyan in the peros? As a Rabbi Yochanan, Omar lo kana lokeach, because kinyan peros ki kinyan haguf dami. Because when you own the produce, right, it's as if you own the actual field. So since the father owns the produce until he passes away, so therefore he also owns the land, right? And then if when the son sells it and without having actually acquired the stuff, so then it does not; it's not legit at all. Reish Lagishol, Amar Reish Lagishol, the Kana Lokeach. No, he gets the property at when the father passed away, because Kinya Peres Lafka Kinya Guftami. The owning the produce is not as if you own the actual land. So therefore, when the son sells the land, right? So again, he had control, right? He had ability; he had the ability to sell the land. And therefore that will go to the buyer when the father passes away. Okay, in that case, it's also halachas like Reish Lakish. Fine. Ein avlad shel kayama, right? Again, if the kid does not make it, the Mishnah had said that they can stay married. So Tana within the Raisa, Mishum Rabbi Lezer Omer Yotzi Baget. That actually, now that's not that he has to keep him married. That what Rabbi Lezer is saying I'm sorry. Rabbi Elazar disagrees, right? Rabbi Elazar disagrees and says, no, he's not allowed to keep her, right? He has to give her a get, right? Our Mishnah said that they could stay married if the kid doesn't make it, and Rabbi Elazar says he has to give him a get. He doesn't agree. Amar Rava says Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, Amar Davar Echad, and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir actually have the same shita regarding this. Rabbi Elazar had the Amran, Rabbi Elazar from our case, and Rabbi Meir had the Tanya. And Rabbi Meir has the same shita in a different case, and we're obviously going to question whether that's actually the same shita. But okay, Rabbi Meir agrees that he cannot stay married in the following case. Lo yisa adam uberes chaveru, menekes chaveru. Person is not allowed to marry if a woman is pregnant. But obviously, she's not married anymore. Or if she is nursing, right? Let's say they got divorced or he passed away or whatever it was. But again, the person should not marry either a nursing woman or a pregnant woman. If nasa yoti v'lo yachzir lamis, right? Divrei Rabbi Meir. And if he did marry it, so then he has to divorce her, and he's not allowed, again, it's din derabanan, he's not allowed to marry her. We're just to explain with the Chazal thought that for 24 months after the woman gives birth. So any subsequent pregnancy would mess up the nursing. And nursing, again, back then, nowadays, nursing may not seem like such a big deal. There's formula, all types of stuff. But back then, obviously, when food was not nearly as plentiful as it is now, obviously nursing was a big deal. So that was a real concern. So Chazal made a decree that they should not get married during that time to mess up either the pregnancy or the nursing. And if he did so, lo yitzi v'lo yachzir olamis v'div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says again, if he did so, then he has to get divorced her. Again, the idea is right here also in our Mishnah. Right, the guy did something inappropriate. He married a woman that was pregnant. Right, did even a woman that was pregnant? Are you crazy? Right, I mean, if that baby turns out to be a legit kid, so then you just slept with Eish Zach. That's an Isser Karis. So that was inappropriate. So Rabbi Elazar says you have to get rid of this woman. Right, even though the Mishnah said you can keep her, Rabbi Elazar says you have to get rid of this woman. So Rabbi Meir, in the similar case, right, where the Chazal said you shouldn't marry a woman who's pregnant or nursing, right? If he did, so then you have to get divorced and you cannot remarry her. But the Chachamim say no, Yotzi, you have to get rid of her for now, right? And when the time comes, after the 24 months, so then or whatever, whenever she gives birth, etc., and whatever the time is, so then you can marry her. So this seems to be Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar are both say that you're not allowed to stay married to a woman who you married inappropriately. So Rabbi Abaye says, "Mimai, how do you know it's the exact same shita? Domalohi, maybe it's not true, because I kind of love Rabbi Elazar Hacha." Maybe Rabbi Lezer, she is only saying that, hey, listen, you did Yibam with your Eishes Ach, and she was pregnant, right? If the kid exists, if the kid lives, then it was an Isser Kares. So that, obviously, we're not going to, you're out of your mind, so we're not going to let you stay married. Abul Hasan, but there, that's it, Rabbanan, okay, it's only Rabbanan. So, I mean, the Rabbanan not to marry a woman who's nursing or pregnant, so then, okay. Fine, so then Kerabunt's realized, maybe he holds that Kerabunt, that you're allowed to get rid of her, and then divorce her, and then remarry her later when it's appropriate. Inami, or you could say the opposite, that I come along with Rabbi Meir Hassan, that really Rabbi Meir says that you're not allowed to get married over there, because Elam Shem Derabanan, because it's a Dindarabanan. Aye, isn't our case a Dindaraisa? No. Yes, it is a Dindaraisa, but Chachamim Masu Chizak L'Divrei Yosef Mishal Torah. We had it several times in the stuff here in cycle already. That sometimes Chazal tried to reinforce it in the Rabbanan because we know people will be lax with it. But in our Mishnah, Midaraisa, where you're talking about it, and this is Eshazach Midaraisa, so that Mifresh Parshim, you know, if she has a kid that exists, he's not going to stay married to her, he's going to stay away anyway. Right? Okay, he did Yibam once, but now that he knows for sure also, he's going to stay away. So therefore, it could be that Rabbi Meir would not agree that you have to. That we have to make sure you never remarry this woman because, you know, people will learn to stay away. People know to stay away in that scenario. So then it could be that that's not necessary. Amar Rav, Rav says, "The Dibur Chachamim Yotzi Veget." And when the Chachamim say that Yotzi, that you have to divorce the woman who you married when she was pregnant or nursing, and then you can remarry her later, it means that you need a get. Amar Marzutra, Marzutra says, "Dekanami," and that makes a lot of sense in the language. Dekatani, because the Mishnah had said, what the Braisa had said, Yotzi, right? That literally means you have to get rid of her, right? You have to divorce her. Vlokatana Yifrosh, Shmaimina. It doesn't say you should just separate for the meantime and not sleep with her, but it means you actually have to divorce her. Except for Shmaimina, that's actually what the Chachamim say. Okay, Shkoyach called her Rabosai. If again, I will try to record if I do have time, but if I don't, so wishing you a Chag Kashuv Sameach, and have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.